Medical Ministry, Section 12, The Prevention of Disease and Its Cure by Rational Methods. Prevention of Disease. The distinction between prevention and cure has not been made sufficiently important. Teach the people that it is better to know how to keep well than how to cure disease. Our physicians should be wise educators, warning all against self-indulgence, showing that abstinence from the things that God has prohibited is the only way to prevent ruin of body and mind. Early teaching of physiology. The Creator of man has arranged the living machinery of our bodies. Every function is wonderfully and wisely made, and God has pledged Himself to keep this human machinery in healthful action if the human agent will obey His laws and cooperate with God. Every law governing the human machinery is to be considered just as truly divine in origin, in character, and in importance as the Word of God. Every careless, inattentive action, any abuse put upon the Lord's wonderful mechanism by disregarding His specified laws in the human habitation, is a violation of God's law. We may behold and admire the work of God in the natural world, but the human habitation is the most wonderful. From the first dawn of reason, the human mind should become intelligent in regard to the physical structure. Here Jehovah has given a specimen of Himself, for man was made in the image of God. It is Satan's determined work to destroy the moral image of God in man. He would make the intelligence of man, his highest, noblest gift, the most destructive agent to pollute with sin everything he touches. Educate the sick. The first labors of a physician should be to educate the sick and suffering in the very course they should pursue to prevent disease. The greatest good can be done by our trying to enlighten the minds of all we can obtain access to as to the best course for them to pursue to prevent sickness and suffering and broken constitutions and premature death. But those who do not care to undertake work that taxes their physical and mental powers will be ready to prescribe drug medication, which lays a foundation in the human organism for a twofold greater evil than that which they claim to have relieved. A physician who has the moral courage to imperil his reputation in enlightening the understanding by plain facts, in showing the nature of disease and how to prevent it, and the dangerous practice of resorting to drugs, will have an uphill business, but he will live and let live. He will, if a reformer, talk plainly in regard to the false appetites and ruinous self-indulgence in dressing, in eating and drinking, in overtaxing to do a large amount of work in a given time, which has a ruinous influence upon the temper, the physical and mental powers. Right and correct habits, intelligently and perseveringly practiced, will be removing the cause for disease, and the strong drugs need not be resorted to. Many go on from step to step with their unnatural indulgences, which is bringing in just as unnatural a condition of things as possible. Stimulants and narcotics. Diseases of every stripe and type have been brought upon human beings by the use of tea and coffee and the narcotics, opium and tobacco. These hurtful indulgences must be given up, not only one, but all, for all are hurtful and ruinous to the physical, mental, and moral powers, and should be discontinued from a health standpoint. The common use of the flesh of dead animals has had a deteriorating influence upon the morals as well as the physical constitution. Ill health, in a variety of forms, if effect could be traced to the cause, would reveal the sure result of flesh eating. The disuse of meats, with healthful dishes nicely prepared to take the place of flesh meats, would place a large number of the sick and suffering ones in a fair way of recovering their health, without the use of drugs. But if the physician encourages a meat-eating diet to his invalid patients, then he will make a necessity for the use of drugs. Drugs always have a tendency to break down and destroy vital forces, and nature becomes so crippled in her efforts that the invalid dies, not because he needed to die, but because nature was outraged. If she had been left alone, she would have put forth her highest efforts to save life and health. Nature wants none of such help as so many claim that they have given her. Lift off the burdens placed upon her, after the customs of the fashion of this age, and you will see in many cases nature will right herself. The use of drugs is not favorable or natural to the laws of life and health. The drug medication gives nature two burdens to bear in the place of one. She has two serious difficulties to overcome in the place of one. There is now positive need, even with physicians, reformers in the line of treatment of disease, that greater painstaking effort be made to carry forward and upward the work for themselves, and to interestedly instruct those who look to them for medical skill to ascertain the cause of their infirmities. They should call their attention in a special manner to the laws which God has established, which cannot be violated with impunity. They dwell much on the working of disease, but do not, as a general rule, arouse the attention to the laws which must be sacredly and intelligently obeyed to prevent disease. The physician's example, an educating influence. If the physician has not been correct in his dietetic practices, if his own appetite has not been restricted to a plain, wholesome diet, in a large measure discarding the use of the flesh of dead animals, he will as soon educate and discipline the tastes and appetite of his patients to love the things that he loves as to give them the sound principles of health reform. He will prescribe for sick patients flesh meats when it is the very worst diet that they can have. It stimulates, but does not give strength. Nature will want some assistance to bring things to their proper condition, which may be found in the simplest remedies, especially in the use of nature's own furnished remedies, pure air, and with a precious knowledge of how to breathe, pure water, with a knowledge how to apply it, plenty of sunlight in every room in the house, if possible, and with an intelligent knowledge of what advantages are to be gained by its use. All these are powerful in their efficiency, and the patient who has obtained a knowledge of how to eat and dress healthfully may live for comfort, for peace, for health, and will not be prevailed upon to put to his lips drugs, which, in the place of helping nature, paralyzes her powers. If the sick and suffering will do only as well as they know in regard to living out the principles of health reform perseveringly, then they will, in 9 cases out of 10, recover from their ailments. Obedience to nature's laws. The feeble and suffering ones must be educated, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, until they will have respect for and live in obedience to the law that God has made to control the human organism. Those who sin against knowledge and light, and resort to the skill of a physician in administering drugs, will be constantly losing their hold on life. The less there is of drug dosing, the more favorable will be their recovery to health. Drugs, in the place of helping nature, are constantly paralyzing her efforts. They do not inquire into their former habits of eating and drinking, and take special notice of their erroneous habits which have been for many years laying the foundation of disease. Conscientious physicians should be prepared to enlighten those who are ignorant, and should, with wisdom, make out their prescriptions, prohibiting those things in their diet which he knows to be erroneous. He should plainly state the things which he regards as detrimental to the laws of health, and leave these suffering ones to work conscientiously to do those things for themselves which they can do, and thus place themselves in right relation to the laws of life and health. When, from an enlightened conscience, they do the very best they know how to do, to preserve themselves in health, then, in faith, they may look to the great physician, who is a healer of the body as well as of the soul. We are health reformers. Physicians should have wisdom and experience, and be thorough health reformers. Then they will be constantly educating, by precept and example, their patients from drugs. For they well know that the use of drugs may produce for the time being favorable results, but will implant in the system that which will cause great difficulties hereafter, which they may never recover from during their lifetime. Nature must have a chance to do her work. Obstructions must be removed and opportunity given her to exert her healing forces, which she will surely do if every abuse is removed from her and she has a fair chance. Confidence in nature's remedies to be cultivated. The sick should be educated to have confidence in nature's great blessings which God has provided. And the most effective remedies for disease are pure, soft water, the blessed God-given sunshine coming into the rooms of the invalids, living outdoors as much as possible, having healthful exercise, eating and drinking foods that are prepared in the most healthful manner. There are many, many afflicted in our world with tobacco poison. The physician, if he is not a novice, can trace the effects back to the true cause, but he dares not forbid its use because he indulges in it himself. Some will, in an undecided halfway manner, advise the tobacco users to take less of this narcotic, but they do not say to them, "This habit is killing you." They prescribe drugs to cure a disease which is the result of indulging unnatural appetites, and two evils are produced in the place of removing one. Thousands need to be educated patiently, kindly, tenderly, but decidedly, that 9/10 of their complaints are created by their own course of action. Self-indulgence, a cause of disease. Some have not the moral courage to keep right on in the fear of the Lord. There is, even among those who have intelligence in regard to the laws of life and health, a constant selfish indulgence in those things which are injurious to both soul and body. There is intemperance in eating and in the many varieties of food taken at one meal. In the preparation of food, there are unhealthful mixtures which ferment in the stomach and cause great distress, and yet these go on, continuing their indulgence, which lays the foundation for numerous difficulties. If these would have self-control and educate their taste to eat only those things which the abused stomach can and will assimilate, they would save large expense in doctor bills and avoid great sufferings. It is the work of the physician to educate those who are ignorant in regard to these things. There should be training schools to educate nurses and prepare the minds to sense the danger and to see the importance of bringing in skill and tact in the preparation of foods which shall be substituted for the meat diet. This kind of education will pay in the end. Wisdom should be used not to remove meat all at once from those who have been in the habit of using it, but educate the mind to see the importance of the use of healthful food. The law of faith and works. The grace of God is always reformatory. Every human being is in a school where he is to learn to give up hurtful practices and to obtain a knowledge of what he can do for himself. Those who ignore these things, who take no precautions in regard to getting pure air to breathe and pure water to drink, cannot be free from disease. Their systems are defiled, and the human structure injured. Such people are careless, reckless, presumptuous, and self-destroying. Knowledge is strewn along their pathway, but they refuse to gather up the rays of light, saying that they depend on God. But will God do those things that He has left for them to do? Will He supply their neglect? Will He wink at their willing ignorance and do great things for them by restoring soul, body, and spirit, while they ignore the most simple agencies, the use of which would bring them their health? While day by day they indulge their appetite by eating that which brings disease, can they expect the Lord to work a miracle to restore them? This is not the Lord's way of working. By doing this, they make the Lord altogether such an one as themselves. Faith and works go together. Let all examine their own hearts to see if they are not cherishing that which is a positive injury to them, and in the place of opening the door of the heart to let Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, in, are complaining of the dearth of the Spirit of God. Let these search for their idols and cast them out. Let them cut away every unhealthful indulgence in eating or drinking. Let them bring their daily practice into harmony with nature's laws. By doing as well as believing, an atmosphere will be created about the soul that will be a savor of life unto life. Combat disease by simple methods. Our people should become intelligent in the treatment of sickness without the aid of poisonous drugs. Many should seek to obtain the education that will enable them to combat disease in its varied forms by the most simple methods. Thousands have gone down to the grave because of the use of poisonous drugs, who might have been restored to health by simple methods of treatment. Water treatments, wisely and skillfully given, may be the means of saving many lives. Let diligent study be united with careful treatments. Let prayers of faith be offered by the bedside of the sick. Let the sick be encouraged to claim the promises of God for themselves. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Christ Jesus, the Savior of men, is to be brought into our labors and counsels more and more. Hygienic principles. Our sanitariums are to be conducted on hygienic methods. The light God has given on the subject of disease and its causes needs to be dwelt upon largely, for it is wrong habits in the indulgence of appetite and inattention to the care of the body that tells upon people. Habits of cleanliness, care in regard to that which is introduced into the mouth, should be observed. It is not best to tell patients that flesh meats shall never be used, but reason and conscience are to be awakened in regard to self-preservation and purity from every perverted appetite. They can learn to relish a diet that is healthful and abstemious, consisting of fruits, grains, and vegetables. Drug medication. Drug medication is to be discarded. On this point, the conscience of the physician must ever be kept tender and true and clean. The inclination to use poisonous drugs, which kill if they do not cure, needs to be guarded against. Matters have been laid open before me in reference to the use of drugs. Many have been treated with drugs, and the result has been death. Our physicians, by practicing drug medication, have lost many cases that need not have died if they had left their drugs out of the sick room. Fever cases have been lost when, had the physicians left off entirely their drug treatment, had they put their wits to work and wisely and persistently used the Lord's own remedies, plenty of air and water, the patients would have recovered. The reckless use of these things that should be discarded has decided the case of the sick. Experimenting in drugs is a very expensive business. Paralysis of the brain and tongue is often the result, and the victims die an unnatural death, when, if they had been treated perseveringly, with unwearied, unrelaxed diligence with hot and cold water, hot compresses, packs, and dripping sheet, they would be alive today. Nothing should be put into the human system that will leave a baleful influence behind. And to carry out the light on this subject, to practice hygienic treatment is the reason which has been given me for establishing sanitariums in various localities. I have been pained when many students have been encouraged to go where they would receive an education in the use of drugs. The light I have received on the subject of drugs is altogether different from the use made of them at these schools or at the sanitariums. We must become enlightened on these subjects. The intricate names given medicines are used to cover up the matter, so that none will know what is given them as remedies unless they consult a dictionary. Patients are to be supplied with good, wholesome food. Total abstinence from all intoxicating drinks is to be observed. Drugs are to be discarded, and rational methods of treatment followed. The patients must not be given alcohol, tea, coffee, or drugs, for these always leave traces of evil behind them. By observing these rules, many who have been given up by the physicians may be restored to health. In this work, the human and divine instrumentalities can cooperate in saving life, and God will add His blessing. Many suffering ones, not of our faith, will come to our institutions to receive treatment. those whose health has been ruined by sinful indulgence, and who have been treated by physicians till the drugs administered have no effect, will come, and they will be benefited. The Lord will bless institutions conducted in accordance with His plans. He will cooperate with every physician who faithfully and conscientiously engages in this work. He will enter the rooms of the sick. He will give wisdom to the nurses. Seeds of death. When you understand physiology in its truest sense, your drug bills will be very much smaller, and finally you will cease to deal out drugs at all. The physician who depends upon drug medication in his practice shows that he does not understand the delicate machinery of the human organism. He is introducing into the system a seed crop that will never lose its destroying properties throughout the lifetime. I tell you this because I dare not withhold it. Christ paid too much for man's redemption to have his body so ruthlessly treated as it has been by drug medication. Years ago, the Lord revealed to me that institutions should be established for treating the sick without drugs. Man is God's property, and the ruin that has been made of the living habitation, the suffering caused by the seeds of death sown in the human system, are an offense to God. Thousands might recover. Thousands who are afflicted might recover their health if, instead of depending upon the drugstore for their life, they would discard all drugs and live simply, without using tea, coffee, liquor, or spices, which irritate the stomach and leave it weak, unable to digest even simple food without stimulation. The Lord is willing to let His light shine forth in clear, distinct rays to all who are weak and feeble. Vegetables, fruits, and grains should compose our diet. Not an ounce of flesh meat should enter our stomachs. The eating of flesh is unnatural. We are to return to God's original purpose in the creation of man. What we can do for ourselves. In regard to that which we can do for ourselves, there is a point that requires careful, thoughtful consideration. I must become acquainted with myself. I must be a learner always as to how to take care of this building, the body God has given me, that I may preserve it in the very best condition of health. I must eat those things which will be for my very best good physically, and I must take special care to have my clothing such as will conduce to a healthful circulation of the blood. I must not deprive myself of exercise and air. I must get all the sunlight that it is possible for me to obtain. I must have wisdom to be a faithful guardian of my body. I should do a very unwise thing to enter a cool room when in a perspiration. I should show myself an unwise steward to allow myself to sit in a draft and thus expose myself so as to take cold. I should be unwise to sit with cold feet and limbs and thus drive back the blood from the extremities to the brain or internal organs. I should always protect my feet in damp weather. I should eat regularly of the most healthful food which will make the best quality of blood, and I should not work intemperately if it is in my power to avoid doing so. And when I violate the laws God has established in my being, I am to repent and reform, and place myself in the most favorable condition under the doctors God has provided, pure air, pure water, and the healing precious sunlight. Presumption and indolence. If we neglect to do that which is within the reach of nearly every family, and ask the Lord to relieve pain when we are too indolent to make use of these remedies within our power, it is simply presumption. The Lord expects us to work in order that we may obtain food. He does not propose that we shall gather the harvest unless we break the sod, till the soil, and cultivate the produce. Then God sends the rain and the sunshine and the clouds to cause vegetation to flourish. God works and man cooperates with God. Then there is seed time and harvest. God has caused to grow out of the ground herbs for the use of man, and if we understand the nature of these roots and herbs and make a right use of them, there would not be a necessity of running for the doctor so frequently, and people would be in much better health than they are today. Instruction for missionaries. Those who desire to become missionaries are to hear instruction from competent physicians, who will teach them how to care for the sick without the use of drugs. Such lessons will be of the highest value to those who go out to labor in foreign countries. And the simple remedies used will save many lives. Sunlight, ventilation, and temperature. To afford the patient the most favorable conditions for recovery, the room he occupies should be large, light, and cheerful, with opportunity for thorough ventilation. The room in the house that best meets these requirements should be chosen as the sick room. Many houses have no special provision for proper ventilation, and to secure it is difficult. But every possible effort should be made to arrange the sick room so that a current of fresh air can pass through it night and day. So far as possible, an even temperature should be maintained in the sick room. The thermometer should be consulted. Those who have the care of the sick, being often deprived of sleep or awakened in the night to attend to the patient, are liable to chilliness and are not good judges of a healthful temperature. Nature's great medicinal resources. In the efforts made for the restoration of the sick to health, use is to be made of the beautiful things of the Lord's creation. Seeing the flowers, plucking the ripe fruit from the trees, hearing the happy songs of the birds, have a peculiarly exhilarating effect on the nervous system. From out-of-door life, men, women, and children will gain the desire to be pure and guileless. By the influence of the quickening, reviving, life-giving properties of nature's great medicinal resources, the functions of the body are strengthened, the intellect awakened, the imagination quickened, the spirits enlivened. The mind is prepared to appreciate the beauties of God's Word. Why should not the young men and women who are seeking to obtain a knowledge of how to care for the sick have the advantage of nature's wonderful resources? God helping me, I will do my utmost to show the life-giving power of sunshine and fresh air. How much better it is for the sick to be in the open air than within four walls, decorated though these walls may be with many pictures. Healing power in outdoor life. The surroundings of a sanitarium should be as attractive as possible. Out-of-door life is a means of gaining health and happiness. As the sick look upon the beautiful scenery, as they see the flowers in their loveliness, they will venture to take a few steps outdoors to gather some of the flowers, precious messengers of God's love to his family in affliction here below. In flower garden and orchard, the sick will find health, cheerfulness, and happy thoughts. What an influence an outdoor life among the flowers and fruit-laden trees has upon those who are sick, both in body and in mind. After they stay for a short time at a sanitarium situated in the midst of the beauties of nature, hope begins to take the place of despair. The heart is softened by the objects of beauty in nature that the great master artist has given to mankind as pictures in which are portrayed his goodness and love. Encourage the patients to live out of doors. Devise plans to keep them outdoors where they will become acquainted with God through nature. As they take exercise in the open air, restoration will begin in body, mind, and soul. Life in the open air, away from the congested cities, is health-restoring. The pure air has in it health and life. As it is breathed in, it has an invigorating effect on the whole system. Those who are connected with our sanitariums should make every effort to encourage the patients to live an outdoor life, so far as it is possible for them to do so. Nature is the great physician that will heal them of all their maladies, both spiritual and physical. Everything that can be done should be done to give those who come to our sanitariums for treatment the opportunity of living as much as possible in the open air. The patients should have the advantages that are given by natural surroundings. Nature is the great restorer of both soul and body. an elixir of life. When a sanitarium is established in the country, the sick can breathe the pure air of heaven. As they walk among the flowers and trees, joy and gladness fill their hearts. It is as if the smile of God were upon them as they look upon the beautiful things He has created to bring joy to their sad hearts. Life in the open air is good for body and mind. It is God's medicine for the restoration of health. Pure air, good water, sunshine, beautiful surroundings, these are His means for restoring the sick to health in natural ways. The fact that in the country all these advantages can be obtained is a powerful incentive to the establishment of a sanitarium in the country. There, the institution can be surrounded by flowers and trees, orchards and vineyards. The effect of such surroundings is, as it were, an elixir of life. It is worth more than silver or gold to sick people to lie in the sunshine or in the shade of the trees. And whenever opportunity offers, let those in charge of them draw lessons teaching the love of God from the things of nature, from the lofty trees, the springing grass, and the beautiful flowers. Every opening bud and blossoming flower is an expression of God's love for His children. Point them upward to Him whose hand has made the beautiful things of nature. Life only in Christ. The fruit of the tree of life in the Garden of Eden possessed supernatural virtue. To eat of it was to live forever. Its fruit was the antidote of death. Its leaves were for the sustaining of life and immortality. But through man's disobedience, death entered the world. Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the fruit of which he had been forbidden to touch. This was his test. He failed, and his transgression opened the floodgates of woe upon our world. The tree of life was a type of the one great source of immortality. Of Christ it is written, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." He is the fountain of life. Obedience to Him is the life-giving, vivifying power that gladdens the soul. Through sin, man shut himself off from access to the tree of life. Now, life and immortality are brought to light through Jesus Christ. Benefits of open-air exercise. Why deprive the patients of the health-restoring blessing to be found in out-of-door life? I have been instructed that as the sick are encouraged to leave their rooms and spend time in the open air, tending the flowers or doing some other light, pleasant work, their minds will be called from self to something more health-giving. Open-air exercise should be prescribed as a beneficial, life-giving necessity. The longer patients can be kept out of doors, the less care they will require. The more cheerful their surroundings, the more hopeful they will be. Surround them with the beautiful things of nature. Place them where they can see the flowers growing and hear the birds singing, and their hearts will break into a song in harmony with the song of the birds. Shut them in rooms, and, be those rooms ever so elegantly furnished, they will grow fretful and gloomy. Give them the blessing of outdoor life, for thus their souls will be uplifted, unconsciously and in a large sense consciously. Relief will come to body and mind. Health and joy in field and orchard. Our Redeemer is constantly working to restore in man the moral image of God. And although the whole creation groans under the curse, and fruit and flowers are nothing in comparison with what they will be in the earth made new, yet even today the sick may find health and gladness and joy in field and orchard. What a restorative this is! What a preventive of sickness! The leaves of the tree of life are for the healing of the believing, repenting children of God who avail themselves of the blessing to be found in tree and shrub and flower, even marred as nature is by the curse. Awaken faith in the great healer. The soothing power of pure truth, seen, acted, and maintained in all its bearings, is of a value no language can express to people who are suffering with disease. Keep ever before the suffering sick the compassion and tenderness of Christ, and awaken their conscience to a belief in His power to relieve suffering and lead them to faith and trust in Him, the great healer, and you have gained a soul and oftentimes a life. Therefore, personal religion for all physicians in the sick room is essential to success in giving the simple treatment without drugs. He who is a physician and guardian of the health and body, God would have in every way educated to learn lessons of the great teacher, how to work in Christ and through Christ to save the souls of the sick. How can any physician know this until the Savior shall be received as a personal Savior to him who administers to suffering humanity? Religion should be made prominent in a most tender, sympathetic, compassionate way. No one of all the parties with whom he is acquainted can do as much for the sick one as a truly converted nurse and physician. Actions of purity and refinement in looks and words, and above all, the sweet words of prayer, though few, yet if sincere, will be a sure anchor to the suffering ones.